Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, getting ready for our Big Brother Sunday night recap with Taryn Armstrong. Going to update the live feeds and talk about everything from episode 3 of Big Brother 17. But before we get into that, I want to take a moment and thank the sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at True Car. Because if you're making a big purchase, like buying a new car, don't you want and expect a transparent buying process, a process that will give you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal? So to really understand the power of transparency, it's more important than the power of veto. You need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure the car you want and how you want it, but you could see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for, down to the zip code. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Very transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, you can lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP, and you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy that's so excited that Big Brother is up. He is more excited than a 15-year-old at a quinceañera. Rob Cicerino, hello everybody. And welcome back to our first Sunday night recap of Big Brother 17. Very excited to talk about everything that went down tonight on the episode. And then, we will segue to talking about everything from day 4 of the Big Brother live feeds. And here with us to talk about it is our Sunday night Big Brother live feed correspondent. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. And I just wanted to say, if there's anything that I can do for you, let me know and I love you. I love you too.
Yeah. What did you say?
No, I didn't say anything. What?
What a funny moment. What an awkward bunch of house guests we have this season, and a really good crew of whack jobs. And I'm not really sure who the good game players are, but we do know from what we've seen over a few days, we have many crazy people in the house.
Yeah, I love Steve. He's such a sweetheart. He's so clueless.
Nice guy. Seems like a nice guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we're going to talk about everything from episode number 3, which ended with the Battle of the Block victory for Johnny Mac and Beckers, meaning that Steve and Jackie are the nominees heading into the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother. On that night, we will see the veto competition play out and whatever replacement nominee, if any, is going to be in the mix. And then on Thursday night, we will see our first eviction of Big Brother 17. So much to get to here tonight. Of course, we're live here on robswebsite.com, as we always are. After the episodes, we're going to be doing one of these recaps after every show this season. Plus, we're going to be doing our first Big Brother voicemail show. So we need to hear your voicemail questions. Going to get those in at robswebsite.com/voicemail. That's with a thing called SpeakPipe, where you record your questions. You just use the microphone on your computer or on your iPhone or iPad or whatever. You hit the button, hit record, you say your question, and then we get it. Try to keep it about 30 seconds, 40 seconds tops if you want to get it into the show. Or you could use our phone number, which is 323-282-RHAP. That's 323-282-RHAP. I'm going to be playing a bunch of these questions. You can talk spoilers. You can talk about anything that's happened between, you know, the veto ceremony all the way through whatever's happening on the live feeds. I will also delineate that podcast to talking about stuff from the live feeds and then stuff from the show. So if you don't want to be spoiled from the live feeds, you could listen to the first half of that show or whatever. My guest for the first of these shows is going to be Miss Cleo, who has a lot to say, as always. Very funny guy. So I can't wait to talk to him on Monday. Should be a fun show. And of course, we're live here, hashtag RHAP, and then on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. All right, Taryn. So much going on these live feeds. Also, if you haven't gotten in on the live feeds, it's been a good live feed season so far.
Oh yeah, a crazy start to the season.
Okay, good stuff. You want to get on the live feeds? go to robiswebsite.com/livefeeds. You can get a 1 week free trial of the Big Brother live feeds on CBS.com. And if you want to get in on that, getting that bingo card on that live feed bingo card, go to robiswebsite.com/bingo. You got any squares crossed off, Taryn?
I don't yet.
Not yet. It's tough. It's tough. It's not going to be, it's not easy for everybody.
I'm a little too busy taking notes, unfortunately. Too much attention. I've been looking though.
All right. Well, if any of those words pop up, then you know. Okay. So what we're going to do here tonight, if you're joining us for the first time, we always have new people finding us, searching for Big Brother, and that's how they find the podcast. We're going to talk about everything that happened on the show. And then later on in this show, we will let you know when we're going to talk about the live feeds. Taryn has created an updated, up-to-the-minute Big Brother live feed alliance chart. We will track all the alliance, talk about all of the drama from the weekend, and there has been a lot. So we'll talk about that all and then take your questions all in this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. All right, let's get into talking about the Sunday night show. And we learned a lot about what was going on. And the first thing that we really learned about was the bro-liance between Jace and Austin.
Bro code number 537.
I mean, in 2015, in Big Brother 17, do you have to tell two guys to not do this sort of thing? I mean, it wasn't that the big thing that everybody talked about in their pregame interviews of, well, we got to worry about all of the guys getting together and starting an alliance. And then to just be everybody's worst fear and to be so out in front on it. I mean, how dumb can you be?
I don't understand it. You know, like, it's Austin especially, who I thought, you know, would have had a better idea of what to do going into the game and what not to do. He's been a very big fan. And he watches the feeds. And it just, it's mind boggling to think, like, you know, why he's blatantly doing this in front of everyone and clearly they're not enjoying it. So it doesn't make any sense. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah. Unfortunately for these guys, they're like 10 years behind the times on doing stuff that Barney Stinson was doing in 2005. I don't know why they think that this is original or unique unless they know that people are laughing at them, not laughing with them. I feel like the bro culture in the Big Brother house is at an all-time low in terms of levels of acceptance.
Definitely. I mean, I think they were doing it kind of ironically, like, oh, aren't we being, you know, big doofuses? But I don't think anybody found it particularly funny. It was just kind of annoying.
Like, did anybody have the reaction inside the house or watching the show? Oh my God, these guys are so funny, or these guys are so cool. I like them because they're doing this stuff.
Not from what I've seen.
I'm sure somebody did. But
I'm sure somebody did, but from what I've seen, I haven't seen anybody.
It just seems like the biggest way to put such a big target on your back if you're these two guys. Like, hey, we're the biggest guys in the house. These guys are best friends. I was going to say when the live feeds came on, like the first thing you saw was them like hugging each other. Like, hey, everybody, guess what? We're best friends. And so these guys have made no attempt whatsoever to try to hide the fact of how close they are being. And you have to feel like that's a bad move for Jason Austin.
Yeah, like my immediate thought when I saw them being so buddy-buddy was like, okay, so clearly they must have some sort of, you know, they must be in an alliance or something, or some sort of strategy where like they're not the only ally that the other one has, right? Like they're not on the outs, right? Surely they wouldn't be doing this if they were. And then, of course, we find out Jace is, you know, at least from what we've seen on this episode, a backdoor target. And it's like, okay, so this is very straightforward. They were acting like idiots. They were obviously together, and now they're targets.
Yeah. And so for these two guys, they start this alliance called Shelltown that we learn in the episode. What do you think of Shelltown as an alliance name?
You know, it's not bad. I mean, it's kind of referencing Chilltown. But it's, you know, also at the same time, kind of its own thing, but I don't know. It's still kind of, you know, you want to do your own thing too, right?
Yeah. All right. So Shelltown is a storyline we're going to be following along here tonight. And this week we also got to find out what the other part of the twist, the end of the Phil Kogan Big Brother takeover was going to be. And we had the introduction of the BB Fast Forward. Now, Taryn, did you look at BB Fast Forward as something that was just a one-time deal that was here this week? Or do you think BB Fast Forward is going to be something that is going to be an ongoing thing that we will see again, potentially in BB 17 and beyond?
I think it's just for this week. I think it was very tied in with the Amazing Race lingo, and it's not particularly interesting, especially if it's going to happen again. So I think it's just this week.
So the BB Fast Forward was that each of Devon and Vanessa were allowed to take one person and fast forward through this week and then protect one other person. And I did feel like the first part of this, of being protected and safe for the week, was great. But I felt like the second part of this was not a great thing for either of their games to have to assign this power, because they really had to show their cards. And I felt like it created some problems along the way. First, let me start with Vanessa. How did you feel like Vanessa handled this and her move to sort of set up shop in one of the rooms and then hold court and take meetings with everybody?
I wasn't a huge fan of it. It felt kind of confrontational. And when you have a one-on-one with every single person that came in is going to be disappointed when you eventually choose one person, right? So, I mean, I guess we're not sure exactly when this happened, like how much time they had to get to know each other before this. So maybe she really needed to get to know, you know, who she was dealing with before she gave the power out. But it felt kind of confrontational to me. I think Devon maybe was a little smoother with it.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like that Vanessa tried to make it into her own like mini HOH week where everybody was going to come and like, I'll give you 2 weeks of safety. I'll give you 3 weeks of safety. And I felt like she really kind of set her up as a power broker in the house. And I'm not sure that's necessarily how you want to be seen in week one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then with Devon, she had a situation where she went through with everybody. And we had Shelly, who ended up sort of being disenchanted with Devon over not being the person to be accepted. Does Shelly have a point, or is Shelly being a total baby?
I don't know. I think she kind of has a point. I think there was a way for Devon to play that, which was just like, oh, I don't know who to pick. I guess I'll just go with Shelly, you know? And they formed this alliance, but you know, when it's this early, you need to be proving to your alliance that you're with them and you want to work for them. And if your first thing that you do is not give them safety when you have the ability to, you know, that doesn't bode well for the alliance in the future.
I did feel like Shelly was being a bit of baby.
She was, for sure, but
she really
you
was.
You have to anticipate that, right?
Like, Audrey was fine, but like Audrey understood how this was going to work, but for Shelly, yeah, she was being such a baby about it. Like, well, oh, I don't know why, if I'm in an alliance, why are they not protecting me?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see that point of view.
Yeah, being very babyish about the whole thing, and really, it seems like she's ready to leave this women's alliance and go right for Clay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, she's enchanted with him at the moment.
She really is. She's really very taken with Clay, and we'll see where that's going. And but it seems like Clay likes her also.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I just wanted to say one more thing about the fast forward. I loved when Phil first mentioned it. They clearly were all like extremely worried that fast forward meant like a fast forwarded week. Mm-hmm. And they were all terrified. It was really funny to watch.
Very funny. And we've seen Big Brother play with time back and forth going forward. Last year we had the Big Brother rewind. So that would not be off the radar of any Big Brother contestants. Let's talk about the work of Jason and James as co-HOH. They end up having to work together, a very unlikely pair to be sharing the HOH room in the first couple days.
Yeah, it was pretty funny watching them interact.
What's your read on James? And I'm a big Jason fan from what I've seen from him on the live feeds for the last few days. Is there something there with James? Because I don't know. I sort of felt better about him in the preseason because to me, he's kind of coming off kind of like a creeper.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about him. I'm not a huge fan. He talks about the girls a lot, I don't want to go into feeds yet, but he's definitely, I mean, we saw the clip of him talking with Becky and Jason going, eyes up here.
Right. And then you saw the clip of him with Jackie and she's like sort of laying there and he's talking to her and he's like, well, you look really good in a bikini. Yeah. No, you can't say that.
The good news is that you look good in a bikini. The bad news is I want to put you on the block.
Oh, James, I don't know. And then, you know, on top of this, the James is a creeper storyline. You know, we have all the stuff about he's got the Taylor Swift fathead at his house and Meg is looking like Taylor Swift. And really I don't know. James is putting out a real creepy vibe here through 1 week of Big Brother.
Yeah, he also seems to have like the same kind of blinders that maybe Beast Mode Cowboy did, where he just kind of, you know, he looks at a situation. He's just like, this is what I want. And I don't want to do anything. I don't want to change, you know, and I want to have these unrequited relationships with these girls. So
I don't know. Well, let's talk about from the other side of this. Here's Jason, who finds himself in a great position in week one, the chance to be a power broker, but that's more forced by the mechanisms of being HOH than him necessarily holding court himself. It's sort of a more organic thing when you become the first HOH, and he's able to make some deals happening. And it looks like as Devon and Audrey are becoming disenchanted with Shelly, it looks like he is ready to swoop in and take the Shelly spot in that alliance. And then ultimately, in bringing James in, it looks like they have a four-person thing talking about controlling the nominations for this week.
Yeah, I love Jason. He's hilarious, and he has a great game sense, I think, and he gets along with everyone. And I think he played it really well. I think it was very good for him that he didn't end up as head of household. And this four-person alliance is an interesting start, I think, to...
Go ahead. Isn't that the best case scenario for week one, where you can sort of like get up there, get in the HOH room, put your fingerprints on the plan, and then be able to say, all right, I'm going to walk away now. I'm going to walk away from this plan. You know, you take it from here, James.
Exactly. And you know, I think Jason is social enough that he probably would have been able to include himself in something. But, you know, even if he wasn't HOH, but the fact that he was HOH, and, you know, he only had to get his hands a little bit dirty by putting up two people who immediately, you know, came off the block. I think it worked perfectly.
Is Jace a good target? Do you feel like Jason is justified in going after a guy like Jace?
I think it is, you know, Jace has pretty much isolated himself with Austin from the rest of the house. So nobody's going to be too upset. He's an obvious threat physically, maybe mentally. We haven't seen him compete in a mental competition yet. And he's this big, you know, loud guy. And, you know, nobody's going to think, oh, you shouldn't have gone after Jace. We really like Jace. We don't want Jace to go home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Jace really has made this very easy for people this week to just the idea of, if I'm a big alpha male type bro guy in the Big Brother house, I really feel like unless I got like four or five bros to bro down with, I really feel like, oh, you know what? I shouldn't tie myself to the other bro in the house. That's going to be way too big of a flashing neon target for everybody else in the house.
Yeah. And you probably don't want to say bro very much or call yourself bro. Because that particularly puts the sign on it.
Yeah. In fact, I might say this might be bro code rule number one.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
In a house with no other bros, do not self-identify with the only other bro there and carry on and get on everybody's nerves in the first week of Big Brother.
I think that's a very good rule.
I think that's good. I think that is pretty good. One more thing, going back to the Big Brother fast forward, Devon ended up choosing Liz, which I thought was a curious pick to go with Liz of all people.
Yeah, I felt like they never really, she never really elaborated too much on why Liz of all people, other than, you know, she just thought it would benefit her.
And we're through three episodes of Big Brother and no mention of how the twin twist is going to work here.
Yeah, I think they're waiting to reveal that for the live eviction.
We're going to go five episodes into this and before we get the results of what the twist is.
I guess so. I think they really want to build up the suspense and, you know, let people see a bunch of episodes and then be like, that person that you've been watching this whole time is actually a twin.
I mean, is there a lot of suspense? They didn't even mention it on the show tonight.
That's true. Usually the last two episodes, they're like, tune in on Thursday to find out. But yeah, I mean, I imagine a casual viewer might have forgotten that it's even happening.
Oh my God. Yeah, I would think that you would forget. Like, oh yeah, what are they doing? Who's this? Yeah. No, I don't know. We'll see if that's going to be a big reveal and how they're going to do it on Thursday. And it'll be time for another BB takeover, right?
Yeah, I wonder what it'll be.
I mean, I don't know how we're going to fit. We've really got like 100 pounds of stuff in a 50-pound bag here on Big Brother here in season 17. Considering the fact that the show is on 3 hours a week, I don't know how we don't have enough time to get to everything. Like, if you have 3 hours a week to make the show, you would think that they could fit everything in 1 week.
Yeah, and like there's so much going on in the feeds, right? Where it's like under normal circumstances, I think they'd have a hard time fitting all of it into an episode. But on top of that, they've got Battle of the Block, and they have the BB Takeover, which, you know, could happen in multiple episodes throughout the week. I don't know. We're going to be missing a lot of stuff in the episodes.
Yeah. You know, it should be a very crazy show, especially on Thursday, where I feel like on Wednesday, they still have enough time. All they have to show us is what happened in between the Battle of the Block and the veto ceremony. And the veto ceremony actually took place today. But then on Thursday's show, you have to fit in every single thing that happens between this afternoon and Thursday, which is going to be about 4.5 days of stuff. Plus, if we're going to show like what's going on with the twins, plus we have to do our live eviction. Plus, are we going to crown another HOH? Plus, are we going to do the new BB takeover? Like, that's a lot to get into in one episode. And talking to the house guests as that comes out.
I wonder if they'll do it on Sunday instead, the takeover.
Or I wonder if they'll do the HOH competition and sort of like a competition where they'll play it out on Sunday. So a lot to do. I hope that Big Brother US isn't going to adopt the Big Brother Canada thing of not having the HOH competition play out on Thursday.
The worst.
The worst. Stop it. Don't even think about it. That's going to be on my BB takeover week. I'm going to come in and I'm going to get everything straightened out. It's going to be like, What? All right, house guests. From now on, all the HOH competitions are happening on Thursday. You just took over. Get ready for a takeover. Bam! Pow! Rob Code.
If the people listening to this podcast do not see what Rob just did, they need to look up this video on YouTube and watch it.
Yeah, well, I'm getting inspired by Austin and Jace to do. They're doing like the all the air guitar, like yeah, it's like shades of Wild Stallions, and really that they're like the Big Brother sound effect people are really working overtime this season so far.
Yeah, they're having a blast.
And we've got air guitar, we got Nintendo sounds, so many sound effects in Big Brother 17.
Steve crawling on the beam.
What was your take on Steve through episode 3? I felt like this was his coming out party a little bit. Steve, do you feel like he is doing a good job endearing himself to the house guests to this point, or do you feel like it's just coming across as awkward?
I think it's coming across as awkward to the house guests. Mm-hmm. I think they feel kind of uncomfortable around him because it's awkward, and that's not a good thing to be happening in the first couple of weeks. I think that if he survives to next week and maybe the week after that, he'll start to get endearing because people will start to understand who he is and they'll be less awkward around him and he'll be less awkward around them. And, you know, that like the Ian Terry thing, which happened where people were uncomfortable at first. But then, you know, it kind of grows on you. yeah. The awkwardness, and you kind of start to see how adorable it is.
He's like a jingle that gets stuck in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve Moses. Yeah, I thought he had a good moment with the pickup line thing. I felt like that.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Brother wants us to like him. I think that they put that in there because they wanted, like, they didn't put, like, the needle scratch, like, when he said, like, hey, are those space pants that you're wearing? Because your butt's out of this world? Is that what the line was?
Yep.
That sounds more like that's something that you'd say in a bro code number, fill in the blank. It's more of that sort of pickup line. What do you think of Johnny Mac's pickup line of, like, hey, want to make out?
I love Johnny Mac too. The two of them in that segment were great.
Yeah. Johnny Mac had a tough spot to be put into tonight. He had to end up being put into the battle of the block, but Jason told him that he didn't need to worry about anything. How'd you like how Johnny Mac handled things?
I thought he did great. You know, that's what you want to do in this situation is remain calm. You know, don't say like, I'm completely okay with being a pawn. You know what? Do it. I'm totally ready. But you know, be cool with it. Like, you know, if that's what you need to do, then I guess I'm okay with that. You know, I'm willing to work with you, so on and so forth. Don't make any waves. Steve fought back a little too hard, I think. You know, you never want to volunteer, but you never want to act antagonistic toward the people in power, right? You want to be able to maintain a relationship with them afterward.
Yeah. Is it just me or the person that really didn't take it the best was Becky?
Well, for some, we saw on the show them telling Becky, you're not going to be a pawn as long as you vote the way we want you to. Mm-hmm. And then so that we never saw the reasoning for why they changed their mind.
Yeah. So I don't know. So maybe that's why she was so upset about the whole thing.
I think it was because everyone else had been told and she wasn't, as far as she knew, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. So many different things that I want to talk about, but I don't want to go into stuff from the live feeds yet.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult.
It is difficult because there's more information that we have about all of these players. What did you think about the Battle of the Block competition?
It wasn't the most exciting thing to watch. I guess I've been spoiled with the Big Brother Canada competitions, which were just so great last season.
Yeah. The Battle of Dubab, I felt like, was a real stretch for Big Brother. Like, that, like, to turn Dubai into Dubab is a real... I mean, that's not even close. Yet all year to come up with a name for the first BOB competition.
Maybe it'll be a theme, you know?
Well, they were really, really stretching it there. Let's talk about Jeff and Jackie, who we saw come into the house on Thursday and seemed to be very concerned about being seen as a pair. And they actually have a conversation about this as they're laying in bed together.
Yeah.
Now, for most of these people, and I know who Jeff and Jackie are because I watched them on The Amazing Race, but to most of these Big Brother house guests, I'm sure, don't Jeff and Jackie come to the house and they just assume that they're a couple?
Absolutely. And you probably don't believe Jeff and Jackie when they tell you, oh, you know, we're just friends and we're not even that great of friends and so on and so forth. You know, you 100% think these two are together, even if they're not a couple, they know each other outside of the house. They're going to be together no matter what.
Right. And they're like in bed together and Audrey like walks in the room like, oh, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Like, no, come on in. They're like, but I got to think that most people are thinking they're together.
Yeah. And you never want to have a conversation with someone while you're lying in bed with them. You know, we shouldn't be seen together. Yet we should really be really careful about being seen together and what people think about us being together. And meanwhile, they're laying in bed together. Like,
yeah, it was really awkward, the whole thing. And
you're
then
just gonna have like one quick conversation, right?
Right.
Like, we shouldn't talk. We know we're good. We shouldn't talk very much.
Yeah, we shouldn't be laying in bed under the covers together.
And bolts.
But where does this guy Jeff get off? Where he's telling us that Jackie wanted more of him, but he wanted to keep his distance. Or what?
Well, he gets to say in the diary room, and now there's a whole summer where she can't respond.
Yeah, I would have liked to have gotten Jackie's take on that.
I wish we'd gotten into it more in the exit interview.
Because my read on the situation was the opposite, where I felt like that he would have been into her, and she was kind of like,
That was definitely my read from watching The Amazing Race too. But you know, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do with Jeff and Jackie? Taryn, I know that you are somebody who edits video by trade. So let's take this question where we have from LB Adair says, loved the intro tonight. What was your take on the first intro of BB 17?
I actually missed it.
Oh no!
And I didn't notice it until just after the intro. So,
well, it's funny because the show really tells you what they want you to think of each person in the house by what goes on in the intro, in like the action that they have, and then also what they're wearing. And the one that sort of jumped out to me the most was that everybody else is like sort of like in their regular clothes. Liz is in like a very tiny bikini, like only one just straight up bikini.
I mean, that definitely fits what I think they cast her for. Considering what she wore to her interviews, you know?
Yeah, I think that would be a fun podcast itself, just breaking down the 16 shots of the people that are coming in and what they're wearing and what they're doing, what their actions are.
Yeah, we need Big Brother archetypes, right?
Yes, get Angie Contz on it to tell us our archetypes for who is supposed to be who. And so, from the episode, anything else that stood out to you?
I don't think so. I mean, it was a pretty slow episode, I thought. Maybe it's because I watched the feeds, but it felt kind of,
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't think it was too slow, but I think it may be by comparison, to compare it to everything that's happening on the feeds, it seems slow by comparison.
I think that's it. It's just, it's so hard to see it as its own separate ending. Okay.
Well, we have so much to get into from the live feeds. Basically, on Thursday night, the live feeds came on. I updated the feeds and what was going on with Alex Kidwell in the morning on Friday, where the feeds had been up for like, 10 hours or so when we spoke on Friday morning, and we sort of got a lay of the land. Then since then, all of the weekends happened, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and so many different events have unfolded and things that we're going to talk about here. And so I'm going to go into talking spoilers so we can talk about what is going on with the alliances. So we're going to switch it over. We're going to talk about things from the live feeds. If you do not want to hear about the live feeds, hope you join us on our next Big Brother podcast, which I will be talking in the voicemails, and our next live show will be on Wednesday night to recap Wednesday's episode. And then you will also hear in each of those podcasts the following sound, which will let you know that we are headed into spoiler territory. And this comes to us from our friend Ryan Elder, who put this together. So we are going to be headed to the spoiler zone.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right, spoiler time. I feel like I need like a sign to like, or like a flag to hold up of spoiler, spoiler time. Okay. Here we go. Let's talk about everything going on in the spoilers. And so if you're still listening to this and you want to catch it on the live feeds, go to robinswebsite.com/live feeds. Otherwise, you are in the zone now. So, Taryn, bring us up to speed on where we are in terms of nominations.
Okay, so James remains HOH, and the veto competition happens, and Steve wins the veto competition. It was the spelling one where you look for letters and you try to make a word, and I believe he won with the word trombonist.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's good. If you considering that's like what he does, that would be good.
Yeah, all right.
That would be like if I was in the competition and I spelled podcasting.
Yeah.
But good for Steve.
Podcast. Yeah. Steve wins the veto, and the plan basically went into effect where he used it on himself, and Jace went up as a replacement nominee, and that happened today, and that's where we are right now.
Okay. All right. So Jace is up on the block, and he was told this afternoon. How did you think he handled the news?
Not very well. he teared up a little, and that was very embarrassing for him.
Yeah.
So we probably shouldn't talk about it too much because I know he's really embarrassed about it.
Sure. Bro code number 737 is never cry when you find out that you're going up on the block.
Yeah. He did talk with Austin a little bit, and Austin told him to really milk up the sadness and the tears, but I think he forgot that, to be honest.
Did he know he was going up on the block, or he was blindsided at the veto ceremony?
So interestingly, Austin had a conversation with Vanessa this morning where Vanessa, out of nowhere, made a ton of really great observations, basically clued Austin in to the fact that Jace was going to be backdoored, and Austin didn't want to outright tell Jace because he didn't want Jace to give up the spot. But he was kind of like, I'm really worried. I think something's going to happen. And then now after the fact, Jace is saying, oh yeah, of course I knew. But he didn't know. He didn't know for sure.
Okay. Well, let's look at the big picture, and I'm going to bring up the alliance chart that you've put together. You did a really fantastic job. So this is Taryn's alliance chart of where we are currently in the Big Brother house, and I'll post this as well on robhasawebsite.com in the show page for this episode. So why don't you just talk us through what you've put together?
All right. So I tried to make it as simple as possible. And it might not work, but so basically I wanted to show that there's basically two sides. There's this huge alliance that's formed, that doesn't have an official name yet. It used to be the High Rollers, but they kind of swapped a couple people out. It consists of Clay, Audrey, Shelley, James, Meg, Jeff, Devon, and Jason. However, within this alliance, there's a lot of division. Jason and Devon are not fans of Audrey and would probably like to see her out as soon as possible.
Now, is this a recent turn of events in the last couple of days?
They were actually the first people to catch on to her a couple of days ago before the veto competition.
Well, actually, could you set this up, the storyline where Audrey is a major overplayer of the game?
Yeah, okay.
Shades of Brian Hart, even, I've heard some people say.
Brian Hart, Devin, and in some Amanda. Throw some Amanda in there. I'm pretty sure she has, at the very least, some sort of understanding with every single person in the house of like, you're my ride or die. We may not be in an official alliance, but it's us too, for sure. All the people in that alliance, she would talk to Vanessa. She had a one-on-one thing with Steve. She had like a ride or die, we're together. With Austin, she did. It's crazy. She's in an immense amount of alliances. It's absurd.
Have we ever seen a female player play this way? Have we seen the female Devin?
Yeah,
Amanda, but Amanda, she wasn't Amanda's, like that with everybody.
She stuck with her group. Yeah. The Amanda thing is more Audrey's style of talking with people. It's very, very aggressive.
Yeah.
Yes. Brian is definitely more of like the, make an alliance with every single person, side of her.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's crazy to watch. She is absolutely the reason that the feeds have been, so ridiculous so far.
Okay. So we have Audrey. Who is Audrey's closest ally? You have her next to Clay and Shelley in the diagram.
Yeah. I think that Clay is probably the person she's closest with. She gets the most information from him, and she talks with him a lot. But ultimately, I don't think she has an allegiance to anyone in particular. If she had to, she'd sell Clay down the river in a second. I completely believe she would.
Yeah.
And Shelley is kind of attached to Clay, and she also has a good relationship with Audrey, although Shelley isn't too big of a fan of Audrey's methods. But she's totally loyal to Audrey at the moment.
Okay. I was watching on Friday night where it looked like Audrey was sort of telling Devon how she needs to be acting, like she was telling her about how she needs to carry herself. And in the way that she comes up to Audrey. And it looked like Devon was not impressed at all with what Audrey was saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of micromanagement, and there's a lot of so he said that she said that we said that you said that Audrey is untrustworthy, and that just makes me hurt. And I just want to get to the bottom of it. Can we call in somebody else? Can we call them in? Because we heard it from them. And it's crazy.
On Friday, she was on the verge of calling a house meeting, right?
She's been on the verge of calling a house meeting every 4 hours. She keeps teasing.
What is she trying to get to the bottom of?
Well, okay. So she's going around to everyone, trying to be on top of everything and micromanaging everything. And so people start to catch on, and they're like, can we trust Audrey? She's kind of everywhere. And they say it to the wrong person, usually Clay. And then Clay goes, this person said that you can't trust Audrey. And then she goes, uh-oh. And she goes and confronts them and says, did you say this? And they said, oh, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? Who said I said that? And then.
Right. It seems like from what we're talking about here that this big alliance seems to have the game in hand right now. Like, yes. It seems like they have things on lockdown, considering that, you know, their big opposition over here is the, you know, Austin, Jace, and Liz alliance, and then there's a lot of loose parts together. But this is like the kind of thing that could really unite the other side of the house.
Yep. And Audrey was doing a lot of work to try and prevent that from happening, but ultimately maybe the cause of it happening, because they might start uniting with the other half of her alliance that wants her. She's in alliance with almost everyone in the house. And yet half of the people in her alliances want her out.
Yeah. Which really would be like Shades of Devon, where even his own alliance had to cut bait on him. And both sides of the house were like, okay, enough of this. We got to move on from this.
Yeah, Devon and Jason are very reminiscent of Derek and Cody in the Bomb Squad, thinking Devon is a total loose cannon. We have to cut him soon. And I think that, you know, depending on what happens with HOH, we'll probably see something similar happen where the house will start to form against Audrey and she'll become a scapegoat. The thing is, though, I don't think Audrey's going to go quietly like Devon did. I think she's going to blow everything up that she can on her way out the
door. Yeah. No, they'll have to take her out of the house kicking and screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep talking through this chart. So tell me about Jason and Devon and where they're at.
All right, so for a while there, Devon and Audrey, so Devon figured out, Devon and Jason before the veto figured out, Audrey's been talking to everyone, she's going crazy. We should maybe even try to get James to backdoor Audrey instead of Jace. And they talked to Austin about it, saying, you know, I don't think we can trust Audrey. And then Austin, who trusted Clay, went to Clay and told Clay about it. And then Clay told Audrey. And then that turned into a whole he said, she said thing, where there was lots of confrontation and everyone was confused. And ultimately, Audrey managed to get it so that Austin and Devon hated each other. Like, they were like, what? Austin thought Devon was the cause of all the trouble. And Devon was like, oh, Austin, you know, what an idiot. We could have gotten out Audrey, but he's now instead, you know, targeting me. So ever since then, Devon and Audrey have been kind of in like this cold war where they're throwing shade at each other within the same alliance and trying to win over the people in their alliance to go after the other one.
It's a very tricky week one here in the Big Brother house. Now, talk to me about Meg and Jeff.
Okay, so I'll start with Meg because she, in particular, I think probably playing the best game I've seen so far. I have her kind of by herself, but in the middle of the entire thing, because every single person in that alliance trusts her, despite the fact that they're segmented against each other. Everybody likes Meg. Nobody wants to target Meg outside of that alliance either. She's completely avoided the drama, but she's always in with the people who are, you know, in the alliance and causing the drama. They're always saying, you know, even if they're saying Audrey's crazy, we need to get her out and we can't trust Clay because Clay's too close to her. Oh, but I really love Meg. We can totally trust Meg. And Audrey says the same thing, and half the house says the same thing. and she's been doing really well at Lang Lo. And I think I don't think it's just a coincidence. I think she really knows what she's doing. She talked earlier today about how she's been playing dumb, you know, especially regarding the Jay situation, and she's just been doing great so far.
Okay, is she showmancing at all?
Okay, so this ties into James being kind of creepy. She's flirted with James a bit, also flirted with Jeff a bit, probably more so with Jeff, which makes James very jealous.
Uh-oh.
And he makes a lot of passive aggressive comments about it.
Like what? What's an example of a comment?
Like, oh, why don't you go hang out? Oh, are you hanging out with me because Jeff is in the diary room and you can't hang out with Jeff? Is that what's going on? Stuff like that.
Wow.
And he said something about like, because he often compares her to Taylor Swift, and he says something like, I don't know, like Meg, she wears that red lipstick, you know, seductress kind of thing. Like it's kind of creepy. It's kind of creepy.
Out of all the different ways you would describe Meg, I feel like seductress isn't at the top of the list, right?
Definitely not. I don't think that was the exact word he used, but it was definitely in that realm of, yeah, of vocabulary.
And what's Jeff's deal so far? What's been your read on him through a couple days?
So, you know, part of it is good, and part of it, I think he plays very emotionally. But he's been able to do pretty well in actually distancing himself from Jackie. They haven't hung out too much. And he's talked a lot about how, like, you know, Jackie's over there, you know, we can use her if we want to. And I think people, for the most part, believe him. Like, they're not too concerned about it. For a while, he was getting, he was having this feud with Austin because Austin wanted Jeff to be backdoored. Hard to explain. Okay, so Austin originally thought that Jason was going to be the target for the backdoor, but he wanted to change it to Jeff because he thought Jeff was a threat.
He's a bro that's not in the bro alliance.
Right, and I think the most concrete reason I heard from him is that he's got a dad bod. So
who has a dad bod? Jeff?
Jeff, yes.
So Jeff. So Austin wanted to target Jeff according to Jeff because he has a dad bod?
Okay. No, because Austin says that Jeff has a dad bod.
And that's why.
Yes. I think that's...
Now, I was pretty sure this morning I heard Vanessa and Austin talking, and I think that they were talking about that Austin had heard that Jeff wants to kill him.
Yeah, so...
what is that about?
Audrey in particular has done a lot of work going back and forth between Jeff and Austin, trying to make sure there's a lot of animosity there. I think the first thing I saw on the feeds was Audrey telling Jeff that Austin said that he thought Jeff was jealous of him, and Jeff was very perplexed by this. He was like, "What? Why would I be jealous of him?" Like it really struck a chord with him, and so then, ever since that moment, you know, they've been going back and forth, you know, trading insults with Audrey being the messenger. And very recently they came together right before the veto ceremony and kind of figured out Audrey's the one that's been going back and forth telling us all this stuff about each other. Maybe we shouldn't be against each other.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like Jeff gets worked up pretty easily.
Definitely, yes.
Very easy to push his button.
Yes. So yeah, like I said, like he's figuring things out with Audrey especially. But he's very excitable, and I think no matter where he ends up landing, he's always going to be kind of like the extraneous person that we're going to use because he's emotional and he's going to be a target before us.
Okay. Let's go to the other side of the chart. Talk to me about what's going on with Shelltown plus Liz.
Okay, so the Trey amigos, who apparently didn't pay attention to Derek, Cody, and Zach's alliance from last season, by the same name. So Jace kind of had an almost thing with Liz/Julia, which, you know, could have been very interesting. They did a lot of cuddling. And they're pretty much a trio. They trust each other, even though Liz is two people. And I'll probably call her Liz in the future until...
Yeah, let's just go with Liz.
Yeah. However, ever since Austin learned that Jace was going to be backdoored, he's been like, you know, I'm willing to let Jace go if that's best for my game. So he's been distancing himself. He's kind of hopeful, like maybe there's a possibility we might be able to save Jace, but if not, you know, that's okay too. You know, I'm going to move on with my game, because I don't want to be a target because of him.
I know it's Big Brother and anything could happen. It certainly seems like there is almost no possibility Jace can stay. Would you co-sign that? Because with Jacqueline being the other person on the, or Jackie being the other person on the block, like, I mean, who's really going after Jackie, right?
Yeah. It could, I think it's very unlikely that Jace stays. There is a coalition kind of being formed against Audrey. So if Jace stayed, it would be because people were starting to form together against Audrey and wanted to kind of keep Jace in the house to be somebody that went after her.
Because Jace, it seems to me, is fighting very hard to stay in the house, where it doesn't seem, you don't see Jackie doing very much campaigning at all.
Yeah,
and I do feel like that is the much, even though I can't say that for Jackie, I don't believe that this is a conscious strategy of I'm not going to over campaign here in week one because I don't want to be seen as a threat. I feel like it's a little bit of a Chinese finger trap of being nominated in week one. And the harder you try to pull yourself out of it, the more you end up just getting stuck. And the harder you campaign, the more people will want to evict you. And I do feel like the move is to sort of like roll over and die a little bit and to sort of give up, seemingly.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's usually the way to go. And I think she's done a great job at doing it, intentionally or not. There is another way, though. And I think that's the kind of Godfrey from last season way, which is I'm going to proclaim myself against the person that you're all unified against. You use me as a weapon. And I think that's the only way that Jace could survive, even though it's not very likely that it'll happen.
I mean, I was watching Audrey and Jace like in the hammock together, and she was like, you know, these people that are gunning for you, you know what? F them. Like, I mean, she's really like, she's not even willing to pretend to not be with, to not be a part of the people that are trying to target Jace. Like, she's going to even like work him over.
I think they were having a pretty interesting argument, but I was trying to catch as much of it as I could during the episode. I think if Jay stayed, it would be the work of Austin and Vanessa.
Okay. Talk to me about Vanessa. I'm fascinated about where she is. Do you see her as another potential Audrey, or do you think that she's being much savvier about what she's doing?
I think she's a lot savvier. She almost got caught by Audrey, and there was some drama about that today. It was almost the exact same situation as the Devon one, where... Okay. There was a rumor about a girls alliance that Audrey went to Vanessa about, saying, I heard that you're in a girl alliance. The details about the girl alliance aren't super important. Vanessa went to Austin about it, saying, did you hear about me being in a girls alliance? And then Austin went to Clay and told Clay, Vanessa asked me about a girl alliance. I don't think she trusts Audrey. And so then Clay told Audrey, and Audrey confronted Vanessa. And actually, before she confronted Vanessa last night, which was when the 8-person alliance was formed, she went on this whole paranoid tirade about Vanessa, saying that Vanessa is the mastermind. She's been behind everything this whole time. She's garnering up this resistance force. And that was when Jeff was really like, what are you talking about? You're a crazy person. But, you know, she goes on and on and on until eventually people are just like, all right, whatever. Are we in alliance still?
Yeah.
So anyway, today, Vanessa, when confronted by Audrey, actually managed to hold her own and talked Audrey out of her hatred of her, and is kind of back on good graces. And Audrey's kind of refocused her target back to Devon. So she's been doing a pretty good job. She had a conversation with Austin this morning where she really got his head in the game because it was completely out of it before. He had no idea what he was doing. And just through mostly observations alone, she was able to pinpoint, you know, Audrey's the person running this house. She's got Clay, you know, her as her puppy dog. And, you know, you can't be telling Clay information anymore. And, you know, so on and so forth. So if anybody's going to mount this counter lines, it's going to be Austin or Vanessa through Austin, because she's using him as sort of the face of it.
Okay. So if Vanessa had her way, who would she want to target? Audrey?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, interesting. Can you tell me about Shushgate? What is Shushgate?
So, Becky shushed Jace on occasion.
Okay.
And he is not a fan of being shushed. So he got very angry with Becky, and he confronted her about it and said, like, I hate it when you shush me. Becky said, I'm so sorry. I'm just, it's my personality. I'll try not to do it. And then she did it again a couple days later, and he was like, that's way too far. You've crossed a line. He compared it to, you know, someone saying racist remarks and then apologizing, then saying them again.
I mean,
he was very upset by it.
I mean, he has a good point, though, right? Isn't that the same? If somebody shushes you, isn't that like saying like a racist comment?
I don't think I should even entertain the joke of that.
Isn't that the same, though? It seems like it would be the same. I don't know. I mean, Jace seems like he is an expert in all sorts of issues about, you know, racial sensitivity. And seems like that's one of the bro codes, isn't that? Shushing yep. equals racism.
That must never shush a fellow bro.
A bro. If you did, that's the same as racism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we can't help people that are idiots. There's nothing we could do.
Yeah.
You know, if he's going to Gerton his way out of here, then, you know, good riddance. What can we do?
He also doesn't like Matt Hoffman. Who doesn't like Matt Hoffman? Come on.
Well, what does he not like about Matt Hoffman?
Well, he was talking about the Brigade, and he was like, they made it to the final three, except for, like, mastermind Matt Hoffman. What a douche. They're like, you don't like Matt Hoffman? He's like, no, God, he was such a douche. Like, so,
But isn't that like the opposite? Like when Jace says you're a douche, doesn't it mean that you're actually not a douche?
You know what? I've been misinterpreting him this whole time. He's so misunderstood. We shouldn't be douching him.
Okay. Let's go back to the chart. Talk to me about some of these people that are not in the alliance. For those of you guys listening on the audio version, we have John, Steve, and Vanessa all hovering in the orbit of Trace Amigos.
Yeah,
Becky is squarely in the middle of the screen,
mm-hmm.
and Jackie is in the orbit of the unnamed large alliance that Audrey has put together.
Right. So Austin has been trying to work on. He had separate conversations with John and Steve, and after his conversation with Vanessa, where he clued him on them in on what Vanessa told him, and is trying to formulate something. That is a counter to that huge alliance that you see on the right. So what looks like might be happening is those people orbiting the Amigos might get absorbed into it. And we'll see them kind of battle against the big alliance next week. But we may see people like Jason and Devon and maybe even Jeff or Meg. We may see them kind of, you know, float over to the other side and work with them in order to get Audrey out and then maybe come back. You know, it's going to be, you know, when I sent you this, I said, you know, it's probably going to be outdated by the time the show ends. It's very nebulous at the moment. It's people are just floating around wherever they want.
Okay. What about Jackie? Has she done anything that has made you feel like she has her head in the game?
Not particularly. She's doing what she needs to right now as the person on the block. She's not ruffling any feathers, or should I say rustling any feathers. She was a part of the High Rollers, which was the previous alliance, which did not include Jason and Shelley. But Jace didn't like that Clay and Shelley. But Clay was not happy that he wasn't a part of the High Rollers, so they switched it and they took out Jackie and traded her for Clay and Shelley. And so now she's kind of on the outs again, but she's still within their orbit of control.
Is Johnny Mack living up to the preseason hype that we had for him at all in your mind?
On the feeds, he's pretty quiet, which you wouldn't expect. But I think he's still a fan favorite. Like, everyone loves him. When we see him on the feeds, which is pretty rare, to be honest, he's great. Like, he has a great personality.
Is he sleeping like Zach Rantz?
He does a lot of sleeping, yes. I think he said he likes to do lots of naps.
Look, you could argue he's playing the best game right now.
Absolutely. Exactly. You know, he's stayed out of a lot of the drama, and nobody's pointed this out yet, but almost everybody, you know, either on the, you know, Huge Alliance side of the house or the Trey Amigos, like, almost everybody says, you know, I think I've got Johnny Mac. I think we can reel him in whenever we need to. They all feel comfortable with John. So he's doing well so far. And I think he's doing exactly what he needs to do, which is not get involved in the drama and, you know, stay away from being targeted in the meantime.
I haven't said it yet this season, but the best thing to do in the Big Brother house, go to sleep for a month. You cannot win the game this early. Audrey will not be the winner of this season. You can only lose the game here this early on.
Yep.
What about Steve? We haven't talked too much about him outside of things that happened in the episode. In terms of where he's at in the live feed, do you feel like he's in a decent position so far after a week?
Not really. Poor Steve. You know, everyone kind of isn't very nice to Steve. He's very awkward. There may have been things that happened before the feeds came up. Apparently, he was eavesdropping on people. He was hiding in a trash can while eavesdropping on people, I heard.
spy shack?
Yeah.
How do you do that? He hid in the trash can and then waited for people to come into like the storage room?
I guess so. And they caught him. I really wish we had seen it because...
Is it possible that Steve is a grouch?
It's very possible. I mean...
Like, well, actually, I'm a part... I'm the first Big Brother contestant that is a grouch.
Also a Muppet. Yeah.
And a Muppet. So I would appreciate if you could respect me for my unique worldview of being a person that lives in the trash can.
And so he apparently kind of creeps out the girls a little bit because he asks a lot of questions, which is probably just him,
give me an example of a question.
Well, I think he was one of the people who going into the house was had read about Dan telling people, Dan Giesling, you know, ask people a lot of questions. People love to talk about themselves. So Steve, of course, being Steve, is like, you know, interview style, like, you know, question after question about their personal life and, you know, barely says anything in return. And people, you know, some of the girls were like, that's really creepy. Like, you know, lay off.
But is he asking like personal questions or he's just asking too many questions?
I haven't seen much of it on the feeds. I've just heard Audrey and Meg talk about it. So again, like most of the stuff that they complain about Steve happened before the feed started, so it's really hard to judge him for it. One last thing that apparently happened with Steve, I don't want to accuse him of anything because we never saw it on the feeds, but apparently there were some homophobic comments that he made toward Jason that Jason was kind of upset about, but afterward forgave him for, and we never heard what the comments were, what context they were in. Or even if they were really like bad or anything like that. So, you know, I don't want to say that Steve is a homophobe or anything like that because we never saw it. And people in the house seem to think it's okay. It's been forgiven. Yep.
Keep that in the trash can, Steve.
Yeah.
So, that kind of talk, you know where you could file that kind of talk, buddy.
And knowing Steve, it was probably just, you know, he was trying to be funny and he's really awkward and he, you know, maybe said something, you know, off color and, you know.
Okay. Can you touch on any streaking in the house? Has there been any streaking so far?
If you had to guess who is going to be a streaker, who would you guess would be the streaker?
Steve.
No, actually, not no. Steve.
No, tell me about Jace streaking the house.
What is there to say?
Now, what was the reaction? Were people like, oh my God, Jace, what are you doing? Or like, people like, come on.
I don't think people were that amused. Jace was very amused with himself.
How was it received on the live feeds?
I think some people enjoyed it. Some people didn't.
And Austin didn't join him?
No, he didn't. I saw a lot of comments about how white his bottom is.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to tan that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go into starting to take some questions here tonight from everything that happened in the episode and in the live feeds and everything like that. All right. So let's start with Keith Dixon about the streaking. Wants to know, were you as unimpressed with Jay streaking the house in the backyard as the rest of the house guests?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Who owns the best streak in Big Brother history? Joey?
It might be Joey. I mean, like, it's pretty epic to start off the live feeds with a streak, right?
That's pretty epic. Pretty epic way to start things off. It was a blue streak for Joe.
It's better than shout-outs.
Yeah, better than shout-outs. 10 minutes of shout-outs. Okay, I want a shout-out. I'm going to start our next podcast off like that with just like 10 minutes of shout-outs to people.
The worst part about the shout-outs were that they acted like we would be really excited about the shout-outs. Like it wouldn't just be 40 people and like that we're excited about and the rest of the world wouldn't care. They were like, yeah, shout-outs. Everybody's going to love shout-outs.
Yeah. I don't know who thought that up. I suspect it might have been some part of the Trace Amigos.
Well, Jace led
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he kicked it off.
Party.
He kicked it off. All right. Let's take a question from Perspective Dude, who said, to this point about Vanessa Audrey argument, is Vanessa forming a separate power alliance? Do you see Vanessa at the head of this separate power alliance?
I don't think she wants to be the head of it, but she is starting to form it. So when Audrey went off on her tirade about Vanessa last night, it turns out she was kind of right. She was definitely, you know, playing up Vanessa a lot more than she should have been, because Vanessa isn't some mastermind that's been planning everything from the start. She's just kind of someone who's starting to figure things out. So, you know, it's kind of like Audrey last night was thinking that, that Vanessa was way too much of a threat. And now today, after she talked to her, she thinks she's not thinking she's as much of a threat as she is turning out to be.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from William Rinaldi. He says, what do you guys think of Vanessa and Austin's plan for Austin to fake an injury a la John Big Brother Canada 2?
She really wants that to happen. She's really pushing Austin to do it.
Well, how's that going to work?
Well, what she said was, if it's a physical competition, you know, just you're a wrestler. So if anybody is, you know, in a position to fake an injury, you know, convincingly, it's going to be you. So, you know, play it up, see one of the doctors, say what you have to say, get a sling and, you know, play that up. And Austin doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to stop working out.
What if he gets like a leg injury? Could he have to skip leg day?
I mean, he went into the house saying that he was going to play up his old injuries and, you know, make people think he's not a physical threat because of that. But I guess that kind of went out the window when he was faced with the, you know, decision of workout or pretend
to
have an injury.
The best thing to happen to Austin this week would be Jace going home.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd say not even probably. I think definitely. Bro Aid wants to know, hey, what's wrong with Bro Alliances? The name of the show is Big Brother. What do you think of that?
I can't argue with that logic. You got me.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay. Let's take this one from Mr. Wonton 16. John is going to skate to Jerry at this point. No one mentions him.
I think that's true. I think that's going to happen. I think he's going to lay low for a while. As long as he doesn't get too caught up in this counter alliance, which I don't think he will. He has a great relationship with Devon. He has a good relationship with Jeff. You know, he's enough of people's kind of like back pocket person that I don't think he's going to go home anytime soon.
Okay. This is from Nura, who says, is Vanessa a crybaby? I saw in the live feed she was crying.
Right. That's the weird thing about Vanessa, right? Where, as soon as the feeds came on, and you talked about this with Alex, she was bawling. She completely broke down. talking about quitting the game, rationalizing why she would quit. Like, no amount of money is worth all of this, you know, pain, and it sucks being here and stuff like that. We still don't know how much of that was played up and how much of that was genuine. It seemed very genuine. It was probably just an emotional, you know, moment, and it passed, and she seems to be over it now, and she's really got her head in the game. So, as somebody who really liked Vanessa going into the game, I was very disappointed with that first night, but I'm back on the Vanessa train.
Bounce back. Good.
One other interesting thing about Vanessa, actually, which we haven't touched yet, is this morning when she was talking to Austin, she mentioned the fact that she said, "I told you before I was a professional gambler before I was a DJ." And he was like, "Oh, yeah. Like this was common knowledge." So it seems like she isn't super secretive about the fact that she used to be a gambler. She's obviously not saying that she was, you know, a professional who was on TV and won $4.5 million. But they do seem, Austin at least seems to know that she was a professional gambler at one point.
If she wins that season, that'll put her up at $5 million. Nice round number for Vanessa. All right, this is from Ryan, who wants to know, can we get a hashtag Becky update? Is that a hashtag? How many people are tweeting hashtag Becky update?
I think the more common hashtag for Becky is Trainwreck Becky.
What is that for real? What is the story with Becky and the train?
According to Becky, she got hit by a train in the face.
How do you get hit by a train in the face?
I don't
like,
know.
Was it a toy train?
It was an actual train. I think she had to have surgery. I don't get it either. It's very confusing to me.
Look, I don't want to be insensitive, but I'm under the impression from the laws of physics, if you get hit in the face with a train, I feel like your head's gonna come off.
Right?
Like, it's not like I got hit in the face with a baseball or something. And I don't know the story. I don't want to take it lightly, but
I think people are really loving this in the same way that they loved Victoria's Crow stories.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to, you know, can somebody get a news article on that? You would think it would be a big story, right? Surprised that hasn't come out. If that was the case, like, how long ago did she get hit in the face with a train?
I don't recall. I don't have a whole lot of details in the story, unfortunately.
I mean, could it be like a toy train? Like, somebody threw a toy train and hit her in the face?
I'm pretty sure it was an actual train, but
I don't know. I don't know. That's a weird. Wrong. That's a weird story. I don't know. I don't know. All right, more on that to come. I don't want to. You know, make a joke out of it. I just don't know. Like that. Am I wrong about this?
It's a very serious thing.
Very implausible. Like, that seems like a very serious injury that you'd have.
Yeah.
Was it a really slow train? I don't know.
I wish I had known to do some.
Well, why was she so close to the train? I don't know. Okay. This is from Alexandra, who says, "Can you guys talk about the Five Alive Alliance, or is that completely irrelevant at this point?"
Yeah, it's funny. When I was going to do the alliance chart, I was like, all right, there's like, you know, four different alliances at least that I'm going to have to include, but most of them are irrelevant at this point. So the Five Alive Alliance was Jason Austin in the HOH room. We're talking with James, Clay, and Audrey, and they formed a five-person alliance, which basically James and Audrey and Clay were just kind of like, yep. Uh-huh. Five Alive. Yeah. That's a great name. Totally. We're totally in on this. James was like half asleep. And then the next day, he couldn't even remember the name of the alliance, which really bummed Jace out.
Yeah. That's like the equivalent of you go home with another person. And then the next morning they're like, okay, what was your name again?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I thought you were the one.
It's that's been their main complaint with Jace going on the blog. It's like, why even make this alliance with us? And he's like, I was just saying yes to you guys. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Okay, let's do one more question from Patrick Kennedy. What happens when Austin's Bro Alliance and Meat Shield is gone? Does he have to win next week, or does he have another close ally in the game other than Jewel is?
So he definitely has gotten closer to Vanessa, but Vanessa's probably going to be careful with him, because she should be careful with him, because he doesn't follow direction very well and he lets a lot of information out unintentionally. But Vanessa wants to work with him. He's been approaching Steve and approaching Johnny. So he's definitely trying to branch out. He's preparing for Clay or Jace to leave. So I think he could do well. Any number of things could happen, though, based on the combination of HOHs that happen next week. So
okay.
Anybody could be a target.
All right. So much going on that I'm sure there will be only more fireworks to come by Wednesday night's next episode. Of course, we're going to do our voicemail show. Make sure you get your voicemails in for this show. I'm very excited about it. Go to robinswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Taryn, are you updating us on Twitter about the live feeds as well?
Yes, as much as possible.
Okay. All right. So you're just giving a steady stream of info, or do you also add analysis to it?
I try to focus on analysis, because I know there are a lot of people who do updates really well. So I try to do like more summary tweets with some analysis and my thoughts.
I like that. Okay. So if you could follow Taryn on Twitter, he is at Armstrong Taryn. Okay. And that's Armstrong, T-A-R-A-N, or Armstrong Taryn, for those of you guys listening to the audio version of the podcast.
I also I saw someone in the chat just say the train was pulling out of the station when she got hit. So if that makes any more sense.
Okay. All right. good to know. Well, and be careful out there.
It was the train.
You know, stay away from the tracks. We want you guys back here with us on Wednesday. So stop it. Stop. Be careful. And then we're going to do our next Big Brother live show. It's going to be on Wednesday night, and we'll be back on Thursday night for the eviction with Ian Terry. And I'm working on some other fun stuff for podcasting. It's a fun time of year. This is my favorite part of the Big Brother season. I really am pumped up during this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fun.
So much to talk about. Like we didn't even cover everything necessarily.
No,
and I apologize for all the stuff that we didn't get to, but there was so much that happened, you know.
Yeah, if I ever get a vasectomy, I think this is going to be the I'm going to time it with the Big Brother live feeds coming on, and then you just sit there. You're supposed to like sit there and like watch TV for like 4 days, and you can't get up. I think that's when I would time it.
Have you been thinking about getting a vasectomy lately?
No. I'm just that I know that like when you get a vasectomy, they say that like the first weekend of March Madness is the most common time when people try to time their vasectomy for March Madness. This would be like my June Madness vasectomy. The doctor would say, well, so why all of a sudden they're like, well, Big Brother live feeds are kicking off. I want to be right there. I'll be right there to watch everything happen. I don't want to miss the next, injury story that happens on the live feeds. It'll be there.
Yeah.
And, I'll time it for the year that Audrey and Devin are both going to be back for All Stars.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss anything. Do we have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
I'm trying to think.
Let's see. We talked about so many different things tonight. Is there anything from the bro code from Jace? Chat room, you jump in on this too.
I know, I'm watching them. I'm hoping they'd give me a suggestion. Hopefully. Always have something and ignore it and then they get mad.
Bro code number three is if there's something in each other's teeth, you're going to pick that out. Okay, I could see that. You got a little something. Bro code number four seems like we really take a quantum leap to we're going to pop each other's zits, right?
Yeah.
Like, unless your bro is a dermatologist like Dr. Will. Like, if Dr. Will was my bro and, like, I that's his vocation, you know, I could see it. But I don't think I need Austin or Jace, you know, working on anything for me.
Yeah. Probably not the first choice.
Yeah, probably not. Okay. All right. So we'll see. Nobody's got anything too great on the hashtag. Let's just go with Creepy James. There we go. James is creepy. Hashtag creepy James. Or Becky update. Yeah, that's a good one too. Becky update. I like that. Okay. All right. Taryn, great job tonight.
Thank you.
You really knocked it out of the park. Taryn will be back with us next Sunday. And we are scheduled for next Sunday to be joined by an actual honest-to-goodness Big Brother alumni. Christine Brecht is scheduled to be with us next Sunday.
Very excited.
Okay. So we will talk about the live feeds, talk with Christine. That's going to be next Sunday night on the show. We love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments on robiswebsite.com. And we do ask that you are respectful of one another in the comments. I know everybody can get heated with all their opinions, but just try to be cool to one another in the comments. That's all that we ask. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so at robiswebsite.com/iTunes or with our link to our app, which now you can download podcasts as well as stream them for iOS or Android at robiswebsite.com/app. We've got a Spice and Hour podcast coming tomorrow. So much more. Can't wait to get into it. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you soon.